And I think at the moment, I think Infantino's a fucking fantasist.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. Happy Wednesday.
You didn't know what day of the week it was, did you?
Double check for a second there. Yeah, because it's that weird week up to Christmas. Just counting down the days till Friday, because then it's only a couple more days till Santa comes.
You know, I really nearly cocked up the other day. Little bit of confession time before we talk about FIFA's greed and money in football.
Yep.
When in the kitchen the other day, your two boys were in there. And I don't know why, but I mentioned Santa to them.
Yeah.
And I was like, as soon as they did it, I was like, do they know or do they not know? Or
that Santa's not real. No, they still think he's real.
Yeah, I got that quite quickly.
Yeah. They still think he's real. Which is a bad thing, but I have to keep up the pretense for at least a year or two more.
When did it get ruined for you?
There was never Santa in my house.
Literally got ruined for me permanently when I was in year six. I'd have been 10 or 11.
Mm.
And the teacher just told us blatantly that like Santa's a myth.
So
it's like, oh, I'd suspected it, but thanks for that.
Yeah, they say by secondary school kids should know. I didn't have Christmas until later in my life, so there was never Santa to begin with to be ruined.
Okay.
So obviously immigrant parents, right, they don't know Christmas as it means nothing to them. So probably up until about 6 or 7 years old, we never had Christmas decorations, no Christmas tree. No, it was just another day. And it just happened to be that during that week and the week before and the week after, there was just movies galore on terrestrial TV, right? That's when they used to just show back-to-back kids' movies. So that was wicked. And that was Christmas. And then I think after we started going to school a bit more and then you see everybody else is all Christmased up, my parents were a bit more clued up to actually having Christmas at home, and then we started getting a tree and shit like that. But Santa never existed in the beginning. So,
for you to be bothered. By the way, if the patron who was looking for mum's permission to join is here and I've just ruined it for you, I'm kind of sorry.
Oh, mate. Yeah. We're counting down the days. But today, James, we're talking about money in Christmas. No, if only we're talking about Christmas. You know what I mean? It's an expensive one. Nah, money in football. And the particular topic, FIFA
and their greed, or is it, as partly to be discussed. So on Friday, Gianni Infantino in his press conference, and fuck me, he said some dumb things in his press conferences, especially the one just before the tournament started. I feel this, I feel that.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the most bizarre press conferences, I think, in football history, actually. But on Friday, he revealed some things. About essentially the future of football. And I think a lot of the conversation will centre around two things here. One, 48-team World Cup, and two, the idea of a club World Cup, which actually isn't an idea. Infantino has said this is going to happen in the summer of 2025. One of Infantino's big problems, I feel, is he's act now, think about consequences later. Which is kind of proven by the fact they really don't know what they want to do with the 48-team World Cup. So the kind of idea that was sold to everybody was, we can get more nations in from around the world, more teams get to play in the World Cup, yada, yada, yada. That's all brilliant, fine, great. You are diluting the quality of the tournament and the format idea of 3-team groups. Oh, how many groups was it? 16 groups of 3 teams where 2 teams would go through to a last 32 knockout stage would absolutely mean that you could have conspiracy theories and teams playing for a result that would suit each other. And I think it really became a conversation because we had so many dramatic conclusions to group stage games in this tournament, particularly like the Japan, Spain, Germany, Costa Rica evening, for example. It wasn't the only one, where at the Argentina group as well.
Yep.
There were so many dramatic things, and you need the two teams playing at the same time.
Yeah.
Even to the extent that Portugal and South Korea finished 10 minutes before Ghana and Uruguay finished, and Uruguay still knew they needed a goal and Ghana needed 2 goals. But the principal idea of trying to kick off at the same time,
Correct. Completely
correct. We would not have got the same outcome for Ghana and Uruguay if they'd have kicked off later that day, knowing exactly what they needed to do to qualify, we probably would have got a much different football match, probably would have got a far cagier football match as well. So they've realised actually the idea of, oh shit, everyone needs to play at the same time is pretty fucking important. And so now what they're thinking of doing is moving it back to 12 groups of four. And the top two will go through in those cases, and the eight best third place teams would make up the last 32. Almost an exaggerated version of what we've had now with the Euros, which I'm sure the Euros eventually will go to 32 teams probably as well. And Scotland probably will still fail to qualify. Just joking. What's the problem with the idea of moving it back to 12 times four? Do you think, Suj?
What's the problem?
Yeah. Why not just do that? There's a massive problem with it.
48 teams. I think you'll find that the favourites will go through more.
Well, there's that as a consequence, but I think favourites will go through more however they do it.
Depending on, at the moment, they want to show every game individually, right? So you are adding an additional, week to the tournament? At least 5 days.
You've got it. The problem here is time and games. So currently the World Cup is 64 matches.
Yeah.
If you run it 12 by 4 and have a last 32 knockout stage, over 100 matches, and the winner of the tournament would have to play 8 games rather than 7. You're essentially putting another week on the tournament at a minimum.
Wow.
Now, there's already enough groans about, there's too much football being played, yada, yada,
yada. I mean, even when we talk about this club championship as well, then the question for me is player welfare.
I cannot believe that anybody listening to this would believe that the idea of a 48-team World Cup is better than a 32. Cannot believe it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You know what you're going to get? You're going to get far more crap matches. Mm-hmm. And it certainly goes to the extent where if I'm having to do stuff for it in 4 years' time, I ain't watching over 100 games.
Yep.
No way, mate. It's too much, particularly with some of the kickoff times. Some of the games will be in the middle of the night, we think. We think latest game could be like 4 in the morning, potentially.
Is that late or is that early?
I'll
that's
be like
a debate for another day.
Yeah, I'll be like 42 by then. I think it'll be early rather than late. So, I mean, I just think it shows the kind of ineptness and the think money first and act later, because the format of the tournament, 48 teams, it just doesn't really work. They've gone back on something that's been previously agreed and are now looking at solutions. And the solution that will probably come about, I think, is 12 teams by four. Because more matches means more money.
Do you think they'll maybe be more open to playing multiple games at the same time in the group stages to shorten that length of the tournament? Because you could.
I don't know. I mean, if you look at it geographically, obviously you've got, two time zones in America? Is it three?
Yep.
So, I mean, you could even work it out that across the time zones in that country that maybe you even have 5 games a day.
Yeah, you could potentially. The other thing is we talked about the Qatar tournament. I remember when we were talking about the infrastructure. Originally, when they won the bid, they'd said there were going to be 12 stadiums to use for all these matches.
Correct.
And they ended up being only 8 stadiums. So what does that do to the infrastructure you need for an additional 40 games of football? Because you can't play them on the same 12 pitches, surely. So are you now saying that we need 15, 16 stadiums to be able to host the tournament? And suddenly you're getting more restrictive on who can actually host these tournaments as well, potentially.
Well, yeah, I think we're probably already. I mean, USA is the size of a country, is obviously big enough to host a tournament by itself, and is not doing so.
And stadiums, they have, because if you assume you can use other sporting
and the amount of teams that now qualify, I think we're possibly at the stage where Qatar could be the last ever World Cup held by one country.
Yeah.
I think that's a possibility.
Yeah.
Where you've got 48 teams qualify, so why not just, you know, if England do want it, why not have Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland and the Republic, if you want, all qualify, England sharing with France. You know, it's not close enough. You could have kind of a whole kind of North Europe, couldn't you? Eventually, yeah. Where it's like France, Germany, Belgium, Holland, yeah, for example. Yeah,
very easily.
Like, there's no reason why not, considering the size of... I mean, in terms of extremes for World Cups, you're literally going from the smallest place possible to the biggest. I mean, USA, Canada and Mexico as land space fills the whole of Europe.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's
huge. And that's possibly going to be an issue in terms of... They're going to have to be careful how they move teams around, I think. Like, who goes out the group... Who qualifies from the group and then where they go in the last 16 like that. It's going to be quite complicated, yeah. I think.
Jet lag can be a real issue.
So, I don't think anybody's happy with the last 48. Now, I say not... a 48-team tournament. I say nobody's happy. Actually, there's a lot of people that are happy. Smaller nations,
of course,
have got more chance of qualifying, but actually Europe's not happy. Are we, because we look at it from a European perspective, blinkered to the feelings of the rest of the world and the fact that they will get more qualifying spots, like, you know, Africa's going to go up to 9 teams, I think, for example. Are we blinkered to that?
Yes. We'd always be looking at it through our own lens. So we would maybe not think about what the impact is on these lesser nations. Like, you can even make the counter argument, right? What good does it do them to turn up and just get battered? Which can happen quite often. You'd see some real bad beatings in the World Cup, and you don't really want to see that. So yes, it's good for them to have tournament experience, for sure. It also could be a bit detrimental if they're getting some hidings.
No, but then we've, in the last 16 this year, we've had someone from each of the 5 major confederations qualify for the last 16. We say 5 major because Australia comes under the Asia umbrella, but if you want to include Oceania, they've qualified for the last 16 as well. And obviously, Morocco got to the semis this year as well. And I guess the bigger the tournament, the more chance you've got of a Morocco hitting a semi-final, I guess.
Yeah, perhaps. But then the spread thinner across the groups. So I don't think you'll find many will get through. The competitiveness of the groups will be lessened by the fact that there's more teams in there. So I think you'll find more often than not, you won't necessarily always have this group of death scenario or a group where you've got 3 nations that might be in the top 20 in the world or top 15 in the world.
The idea of 3 team groups completely sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To use an American term.
Nonsense.
And even the idea, we know it's uncomfortable, the Euros, 4 of the 6 best third place teams make the knockout. This would be 8 of 12 would make a last 32. It's uncomfortable. I don't think you can have 48 teams and only 16 go to the knockout, because then you've got what, the group winners plus 4 second place teams. There's no mathematical way of making it work really nicely unless you fucking go up to 64 teams.
Yeah.
And then make it 16 groups of 4 and the top 2 go through. And guess what? That's putting another 24 matches on top of the tournament if you do that as well. Which, I agree with your point, Serge, if they were ruthless about it and went, right, sorry, in the group stage, we're going to have 2 games kicking off at the same time, all the way, and, you know, people got to make their choice what they watch, then that would be a way to do it, where at least the competition is kind stays of fair way. And proper and ethical, if you will.
Yeah.
But that's the next stage. Because when Infantino's gone in 2031, and yes, Gianni Infantino is going to be in charge of FIFA till 2031, maybe the next guy who comes in is like, we're going to make it 64. Maybe by 2050 it'll be 128 teams and it'll just be a straight knockout tournament. That'd be fun. I have no idea. The Club World Cup.
Yes.
What do you think of this idea, Serge?
I like the idea.
Because?
I like the idea. But doesn't mean I'm for the tournament. But if you said to me, we can create a competition that's going to pit the best clubs in the world against each other, sure.
At the risk of upsetting people, particularly perhaps in the South American region, do all the best clubs not already just play in the Champions League, mate?
Oh, a lot of them do. How? But I think it's no different to the World Cup, where Europe has the strongest teams generally, then South America, and then all the others.
But all the best players from Brazil, Argentina, Mexico, USA, Asia, etc., will play for European teams, mate.
They do.
Now, they do. You get, you know, some great young South American players and stuff, and perhaps people later, from, say, Brazilian teams and stuff, and you get people at different various stages of their career playing in perhaps the MLS. We know that's a league that's growing, etc. But if we picked the best 32 clubs in the world, how many would we actually have outside of Europe? Now, there's some names there, you know, the Boca Juniors, River
Maybe
Plate,
five.
Who I mentioned. But it won't be, will it? It will be, I mean, what we don't know about this detail is what we have no idea how we'd even think it's going to work in his mind. Is it 16 European teams? We legitimately have no idea how that breakdown would be. What if it's only 9 or 10 European teams? What is it then?
It will, if that's the case, it will become a one-sided tournament very quickly. And we'll realise that very quickly and they'll just have to adjust. But you can't have a tournament where the games are uncompetitive until you just get to a last eight of the Champions League last eight anyway. So I think that will sort itself out, meritocracy on the pitch, if the games are too one-sided. But I just think we don't know so much about teams all around the world that it would be good to... It'd be really cool to see Boca Juniors versus Manchester City.
I 100% agree with that.
And African teams as well coming to the fore. So I think it would be really good. Kaiser Chiefs versus Spurs. You'd probably win that one, mate. I think it would be really, really good to...
I'm not sure that my team would be qualified.
I think it'd be really good culturally. Yeah, in terms of quality of football, you're probably right. We get it in the Champions League already. But exposure to different teams and cultures and all that kind of stuff, you don't. So I think it's in theory, it's a great idea. In practice, I don't even know where to start on how you'd make it work and how you'd structure it. But if you said to me it's a tournament, all the best teams from around the world, I think it's a good idea.
How do teams qualify?
That's to be decided, isn't it?
Wow.
It's all the practicals. But I think you... well, it depends. How many teams are we talking about?
32 teams. So same as the World Cup format we've just had, but for club teams.
You could do it off the Champions League coefficient if you wanted.
Champions League coefficient. Aren't we going back to Super League here?
A little bit. You could do it based on a point system, perhaps.
What would you do? I mean, I'm thinking it in my head if you did, right, 16 European teams. Example.
You'd have the champions
would
of the big five leagues.
But for what year? This, you know, the tournament wouldn't happen again for another 4 years. How would you decide?
Yeah.
You could, what, last four Champions League winners? What, last four Europa League winners? And you might really be diluting the quality of European teams potentially, if you're throwing, with respect, Eintracht Frankfurt in there, for example, or if Rangers had won it.
Yeah.
So how do you even choose? Yeah. There's been rumours already that Real Madrid have been offered 50 million and they're guaranteed in.
They have to pay 50 million or they'll be paid?
They would be paid.
50 million to be part of this tournament?
And they're guaranteed in. That's a rumour that's already going around.
Okay, then it's unlikely that they're the only club that's had this offer put to them.
So
I suspect there are other clubs that will also have had this offer put to them.
So is it just handpicked? Because, you know, listen, people have been critical, particularly of the European qualifying for European championships. But we have a qualifying process. I don't know how... with the way the calendar is for club football, how you would deem who the fuck qualifies and who doesn't. Would you legitimately go, how would you even do it? We'd go, right, so they want to host this tournament in 2025. And the speculation is it might be in America as a pre for the World Cup the following year, perhaps in Canada and Mexico as well. We assume it's not going to be with Infantino's mates in Saudi Arabia because he has said it'll be a summer tournament. So that's another problem we can come back to. But what would you do? Would you say, right, so top four in the Premier League in 24-25 qualify?
Mm.
So at the end of the season or what?
At the end of a season, you'd have to figure
out. But aren't you then just, if you did that, all those four teams are going to be in the Champions League the following year, going to earn more money than the other teams who haven't, and then they're going to go in this competition as well. Are you not just making the disparity between the great and the lesser lights even wider?
You are.
Even within European football, removing the rest for the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
If that's the kind of sum of money we're talking about, again, yeah, it's 50 million, and we haven't even talked about TV rights
commercial
and stuff like that, and sponsorship, yada, 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 and all that that will come with it. Or do you do it from the year before? It's 23, 24, so you've got a year to prepare for it. What about fans? Fans going to find out at the end of May, I'm going to a Club World Cup, I'm going to America for 6 weeks. Because you know the loyalty of club fans is very different to international fans.
For sure.
Certainly within this country, I would say.
Yeah.
So if Tottenham are in it and it's in America, I'm thinking, I want to go. I ain't watching England in America in 2026. But if Tottenham are in this, even though I'd have doubts about my feelings towards it and whether it's right or wrong, I want to be a part of that, would be my take. So I don't know how we'd... Who would you decide qualified?
Yeah, I think we do need more information than me.
So this is what I'm saying about his problem is, he's like, that's a great idea, and we'll act upon what the result of that is later. So who decides? Will FIFA decide? Will UEFA decide? If UEFA gets to decide, they're going to go, our teams ain't going. And this is where he's got a potential problem. So I spoke about this, I think we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, and I said, I think we might be leaning towards UEFA trying to break away from FIFA.
Yep.
Why do FIFA want this competition? Well, I'll give you a couple of numbers, Suj. In the 2020-21 football season, UEFA made... around about $5.5 billion.
Oh, wow.
FIFA, about $1 billion.
Yeah, that's a big disparity. I knew FIFA was like $6 billion over a four-year cycle. And that's because they have the World Cup to boost it. But the other years isn't that high. So I would have guessed it would have been about $1.5 million, but it's $1 million. $5.5 million for UEFA.
So to give you the exact numbers, 2021, UEFA made €5.7 billion. And in 2021...
In revenue.
Yep.
As opposed to like profit.
And in 21, FIFA was like $800 million or something.
Wow. They're so reliant on the World Cup for income.
So how interesting is this? UEFA is under the umbrella of FIFA. UEFA is making five times more money.
Yeah.
If you're FIFA and you're looking at it, you could be, oh, hang on a minute, this isn't right. You want some of the pie, right? I think there's been some speculation that even were FIFA kind of perhaps even behind the whole Super League idea in some sort of way to break it away from UEFA's ownership. UEFA is making more money than FIFA. UEFA is under the umbrella of FIFA. That kind of doesn't, ethically from a business point of view, just remove what we know of football. That's not right, is it?
No, it's okay.
Is it?
They have different responsibilities, right? The costs that they will have are much higher at UEFA as well.
I suppose we could compare that to the Premier League and make more money than the FA.
Yeah.
I guess.
It's not abnormal for me. It doesn't strike me as weird. Because they'll have more staff and more costs that go with it, and the running costs of all of these competitions, the charitable stroke foundation work that they'll need to do with all that money, grassroots stuff as well. Doesn't surprise me. It's the biggest footballing territory, maybe not in landmass and maybe not in population, but definitely in expense. So it makes sense for it to be that way, but they have the consistency of a big competition every season. Champions League is every season. Europa League is every season. So that they can maintain that revenue number year in, year out. FIFA can do that revenue number once every 4 years.
Do you want some more numbers?
Yeah.
So £6.2 billion is the revenue that FIFA are saying they're going to have made over a 4.5 year cycle that concluded with this World Cup. Yeah. So that's the period from... I guess the summer of 2017 to the end of this period. The reason quite often 4 year cycles is because it's the FIFA. No, it's the FIFA term length as well. But it's also the FIFA term as well. Infantino has come out and said, because he's basically going for presidency again, which is up for voting, if you will, and I think the vote is going to be in Rwanda, I want to say, or somewhere near there, in March. I think he's going to stand unopposed. What most people thought was this would be his last term, because obviously he took over from Blatter. But what he's now saying is because he took over Blatter's term when Blatter obviously got nicked, that don't count. So this is the end of his first term. He's going to do a second term unopposed, which is going to take him up to 2027. And then he can run a third time from 2027 to 2031, by which point he may have even picked the host for the 2038 World Cup, which is 16 years away.
Mad.
Exactly that. So 6.2 billion is the amount of money they reckon they've made over the last 4.5 years. Remember that figure I said about UEFA? It's just under that in 1 year. 9 billion is what they're forecasting as the revenue ahead of the next World Cup, so over this next 4 year cycle. But again, that's under what UEFA will make in 2 years. And I think we can probably assume that UEFA, with a restructured, whether we like it or not, restructured UEFA Champions League from 2024-25, are going to make it even more.
They've added the Conference League, which will add a bit of money to their revenue as well.
FIFA say that they are a complete non-profit organisation. Now, they have, I think it's about 800 staff. Which obviously all need paying and all that kind of job. Do you know what their cash reserves are, Suj?
I'm pretty sure I read it was about 5 billion.
Very close. 4.5 billion in cash reserves. Just, what's that for?
I don't know.
The end of the world? Or?
I don't know.
No, seriously.
Honestly, I don't know.
Is that not an astronomical amount of money to be sitting in a bank?
Yeah.
Or?
I mean, yeah, for a not-for-profit, it definitely is. Take some of the tech giants out there, like Apple, for example. I don't know what they're sitting on cash reserves, but I would suspect that it's going to be more like 100 billion. But they're a business, and it's in their interest to keep cash back. FIFA, that's what would you say? That's roughly one four-year cycle's worth of cash, or 4 years. Yeah, 4 years, let's say, roughly. So is that too much? They're banking on like football ending. They've still got 4 years worth of money to keep them going.
Go out on the piss.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing.
Jesus Christ. FIFA distribute £820 million a year to its member associations. Do you know how that's distributed? So
how much was that?
£820 million to the, I think it's 211 member nations of FIFA. I want to say there's about 220 nations in the world, or something. 211 members of FIFA, I think.
I don't know. Is the answer to your
question? The answer is equally.
Oh, wow.
So what that
means... One member, one vote, one share.
Exactly that. You know from Netflix, Doc, etc. Yeah. It doesn't matter. San Marino will get the same amount of money as England. Now, there's two ways of looking at that. One... San Marino maybe don't need the same amount of money as England does, but then England will generate its own money and probably doesn't need the money to come from FIFA in quite the same way. So what does this all do? It basically means you've got 211 members who've got the same amount of money incoming. Now, what are San Marino, sorry to pick on them, what are they doing with that money?
Getting out on the piss.
It's not even, I'm not throwing shade in terms of are they putting it in their pocket.
Yeah.
Like, what can they do?
Yeah.
With that money, oh, okay, we can build a new stand. Or what are you going to do with respect to the development of football in San Marino to put it in a position where ultimately it could qualify for a World Cup?
There's
nothing
possible.
You can do.
It's not possible.
I don't even mean that horribly. There's nothing you can do. Yeah. The country is just way too small. It's beyond Croatia with 4 million have reached a World Cup semi again. San Marino's like not even a city in Italy, basically. Yeah. So is that right, that the money's distributed equally the same way? And don't get me wrong, on top of that, obviously there's prize money in terms of what you do within tournaments, etc. But the actual distribution of money is split completely equally between all the nations. Is that right?
No.
And if not, why not? Because I don't in my head know... For me, it's like, no, it's not right. But I can't correlate why that's not right.
Well, this is a very hard metric, but it should be down to the footballing population in the country, really. Like a spread of the number of people that are participating in the sport. Because in San Marino, you might have, 2, 3, 4, 5,000 people that play football casually or at a club level or whatever else. You in Barnet, in the borough where we are, there's going to be at least 15 or 20,000 people that play football regularly.
There's probably more people play football in Barnet than San Marino.
Exactly.
I'm not joking.
So it should be, and then it doesn't make sense that it's the same amount of money, because spread per person, it becomes way, way higher.
So you'll be,
but regardless, you're not going to turn a San Marinian.
I don't know. San Marinist.
into a Premier League footballer. It's just not likely.
Our neighbour downstairs.
Yeah.
As a child who's Harry's age and is called Marino.
Okay.
I just say San all the time to the wife, don't I?
Yeah.
Can't be having that as Marino. So anyway, you'll be delighted to know, Suj, that those smaller nations also get another £800,000 grant as well. I don't know who's defined the smaller nations, but I'm guessing San Marino is one of them.
Yeah, no doubt.
FIFA say a total of 1.8 billion will be committed to development between 2023 and 2026. I guess that's across the game globally. They're saying about £800 million will have been invested in the global growth of women's football alone during 2019-2022 cycle. If you were wondering, oh, there's a men's club World Cup. Yeah, they're thinking about a women's one as well. It's very much on the agenda. As said, Infantino is obviously, he's probably going to stand now till 2031. On that note, obviously, World Cup 2030. How do you feel about Winter World Cups now?
Nah, give it to me in the summer.
I don't want to say concerned. I don't think that's right to say. Like, has this been okay? Just remove Qatar.
Yeah,
the idea of a Winter World Cup in the middle of the club season, has that been okay?
It's not been too bad.
Well, I think they think that what it's done in terms of exposure in Europe might have even been better.
Okay.
Than what they'd get in the summer. In terms of eyes on, I think there's about 4.5 billion watched the World Cup final, I think.
Fuck.
Which, what are we, 7 billion in the world or something? I mean, just staggeringly.
Yeah, yeah.
To equate that for you in terms of, is it the most watched? The Super Bowl gets about 1 billion worldwide.
Yeah.
4.5 times, basically.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Staggering. Saudi Arabia's name's popping up more and more and more. Now, quite how Saudi Arabia's going to get this World Cup 8 years after Qatar's at it, surely now, because I know so many people, why didn't you speak up in 2011, whatever? People are going to speak up now, aren't they? Surely.
Yeah.
But this doesn't happen. Well, you know how they're getting around it, right? It's a joint bid with Egypt and Greece.
Right.
It'd have to be in the winter, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Mind you, in fairness, I said to you about the Spain-Portugal problem, that maybe even it's that brewing. Would have to be in the winter because of climate change and stuff. Winter World Cups.
This wasn't the last.
I'm not sure that 2026 might not be the last summer.
Wow.
And it might become the norm. And there's nothing to suggest that, but certainly if it seems to be growing over the last month that Saudi Arabia are going to get this in 2030, unbelievably. And possibly because the opposition bids aren't strong enough. I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, Europe, it's probably Europe's turn. Europe normally has every 12 years, I think. So 2030, 2042. But we're probably at a stage now we go, well, there's 5 large associations. Maybe UEFA should only have it every 20 years.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. But I think most people think it's probably UEFA's turn next. I spoke to you in the past, said Uruguay, Argentina, 100th anniversary would be great, but it looks like they're probably not going to be in a position to compete with whatever money Saudi Arabia are going to offer, right? If it happens, it will be winter. It won't be Summer World Cup. I did a 5 minutes added on a little while ago about Jesper Møller, who's the Danish FA president. And he has spoke quite openly about the idea of withdrawing from UEFA and FIFA and thinking about doing their own thing with potentially the other Nordic countries. Now, the Nordic countries don't have the power of the traditional World Cup winners within Europe, your France, your Spain, Italy, Germany's, etc., etc. But it could be the start of something. And when I did that piece, I speculated that we might be moving towards an international version of what happened with the Super League, where Europe goes enough. And I think the Club World Cup could be a tipping point. I've spoken to you about and said, if you remove the European nations, the Brazil and Argentina, and Brazil and Argentina are believed to be of the same opinion as European nations, you do not have a World Cup.
Yep.
Not possible. If the European nations and even your big Brazilian and Argentinian teams go, we're not having a Club World Cup, it doesn't exist. Did you know it was meant to happen in 2021 as a 24-team tournament in China?
Okay.
And it got binned off because of COVID, understandably. When did COVID hit? 2020.
March 2020.
So that was meant to happen in China in the summer of 2021. I have no recollection of that. What was the plan for what teams were going to be in that tournament?
No idea.
And I don't know for the Club World Cup how they're going to decide that. In 3 years sounds like a really long time, but you need people to agree. And I think at the moment, I think Infantino's a fucking fantasist, and I'm not sure that this tournament will even happen.
Yeah, agreed. We shall see. Patrons, hope you enjoyed this Money in Football episode about FIFA. We'll be back at you tomorrow with Tottenham. James is going to the lane today to watch Tottenham in a friendly.
Yeah, hence the schedule's a bit fucked up and all over the place at the moment. Yes, we're playing Nice, that's nice, tonight, which we'll talk about tomorrow because hopefully you'll get a clear indication of what the team's likely to be on for Monday and stuff like that from tonight. So, yeah, it'd be nice to go back to football. To be honest, I forgot a few times. We had to move the draft league I'm in. Because literally, I went to put it in a diary last night and went, I'm going to fucking Tottenham tomorrow. I can't do it. So we ended up, well done to the guys who sorted it out. We ended up doing it at 9:45 last night. And yes, I'm very happy with some of my defensive picks. But I wasn't happy being sixth pick. I got lumbered with Heung-Min Son, didn't I, in the draft. What a shame. I'm happy to have Sonny. So yeah, the schedule's a little bit all over the place with during December. It will normalise again once we hit January.
Lovely jubbly. Patrons, look after yourselves. Stay safe. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.